All right, good morning, everybody. How we doing? Doing good? Doing good? Yeah, you're doing good? All right, good to hear. We had two stars right here yesterday shoveling lots of gravel and putting it into wheelbarrows and dumping it. They did a great job. And thank you for everybody else coming out yesterday who helped, and I think we got her done, as they say. My understanding, Lou, will you have some pictures and stuff up next week? Or those? Okay, yeah. Okay, cool. All right, we've got some birthdays. We've got Bert Ladd coming up on the 6th. We've got a Mike Harris on the 8th. If you know that guy, maybe wish him a happy... You know him? Who is he? I'll let you think about it. That's okay. Yeah, and okay, we've got an adult Sunday school. That's on 9:30 a.m. every Sunday, and they're currently in the book of 2 Kings. So you're always, that's open to anybody here. Not a lot of new stuff. You can always take a look at the Sunday schedule. It's got everything listed that we do on Sundays. And Wednesday nights at 7 p.m., still we have going on the Bible study prayer meeting over in the other side. And, yeah, I don't know. There was a, I don't know exactly what the inspiration for this thing inside of your, what are these called? Every bulletin, okay. Which is nice. I encourage everybody to go read it. It's a nice little, almost the first part seems as though it's kind of like a prayer. Maybe this is like a little devotional thing, but I just like what this has to say. So I know sometimes we have those little things on there and you just throw them away, but go ahead and read this one. It's pretty good. Maybe pray on it. Yeah? Huh? Yeah. Oh, they're all, everyone is different. Okay, cool. Well, then I'll read mine. Yeah, that's okay, cool. Well, mine says, and again, I'm assuming this first part's kind of like a prayer or something, but it says, I am asking God to help you feel the love of others when you need it most. Turn to your loved ones when you need comfort and let them share their love with you. And then the verse here is, friends love through all kinds of weather, and families stick together in all kinds of trouble. To be loved but not known is superficial. To be known and not loved is our great fear. But to be known and loved, that transforms you. Yeah, I just wanted to share that because I liked that. All right, let's go ahead and say... Oh,
Bob.
Okay, everybody hear that? Yeah, make sure you're always checking your emails. We've got those prayers coming in. Those prayer requests are hot off the press all the time. And so let's make sure we're being prayer warriors for everybody else here. It doesn't take very long. You know, if I'm driving or something, you can just try to hurry and do it right then and there. Well, not that you should hurry. I'm just saying it's better than forgetting to do it, I guess, is my thought. Okay, let's go ahead and say a prayer. Dear God, we come to you in prayer, and I guess here to start off, we just want to lift up everybody on that prayer request list, from Bob's daughter to Todd, and everybody else. I just pray that you would extend a special hand or some extra grace to those people, and I just pray for a special healing, Lord God, and that you would help them be restored to health. Pray that you would comfort them and encourage them during that time. And as odd of a thing it is, to help remind us and help us to understand that through suffering, growth is possible. And in a new uncovered part of our relationship with you is just behind each tear and pain, God. And so please just give us the courage and the strength to get through there, and give us the right mindset to not grow bitter and resentful, and to just trust that in our trials and our tribulations that you are with us, and that you will bring good out of all things for those who love you, God. We pray that you would be with all churches everywhere across the world this morning, and that your spirit would be active and open in eyes and open in hearts and open in minds, and that the people would be receptive, God. And we just pray all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
You're invited to stand.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, forever exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted. High. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of His children. Faith in God, have faith in God. He is on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. When your prayers are unanswered, your earnest plea He will never forget. Wait on the Lord. Trust His word and be patient. Have faith in God. He'll answer yet. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Though all else fail about you, have faith in God. He provides o'er His own. He cannot fail. He reigns upon His throne. Have faith in God. He's on His throne. Have faith in God. He watches o'er His own. He cannot fail. He must prevail. Have faith in God.
Lord, we come to You this morning, Lord, in Your name, Lord. And God, You know we need more faith in our own life. And we thank You for those that have come this way this morning, Lord, and pray that Your blessings be upon each one of them, God. And we thank You for our church. We thank You for the nation that we live in, and we pray for her as well. God, there's a lot of things that goes on that, well, we don't fully understand nor really approve of a lot of things, God, but it's still the greatest nation on this earth. And we just love our God, and we just pray that You'll bless our nation, God. Bless His service as we continue this morning, Lord, as well as the offering. Your blessing be upon it. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.
all stand.
Encamped along the hills of mighty Christian soldiers rise, across the battle where the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. If lose the victory we know, that overcomes the world.
Having done all to stand. Father God, we thank you for who you are. We know we live in a tumultuous, sinful world. We know, Lord, there are things that are going on that are just tragic. Countries that do not even have an inclination as to who Jesus really is. And Lord, we pray that we would recognize as your body, your church, your people, that part of our responsibility is to get the gospel out to everyone, to send New Testaments, to send tracts, whatever we can do, to be able to touch people's lives. But Lord, we know that in finality is your Holy Spirit that works and brings people unto you. And Lord, you do that in ways that sometimes we back up and we're just accosted in a sense. Lord, you wouldn't do that. But yes, you do. You are there to convict and to draw whatever means that you deem necessary, we ought to praise you for. Lord, I ask you to be with those who are here today. There are multitudes of requests in our hearts. There are blessings. There are prayers. And Lord, we just pray that you will work in our lives. Help us to be attuned to your word this morning. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, before I start, I want to thank you all for all the cards okay. Is it on? Okay. For all the cards and all the food. My goodness, people. Don't you see me? I don't need all that. You know, just one piece of spaghetti and a little meatball, that's all. But anyway, it's good stuff. And not only is it good stuff, then you bring other stuff that's even worse. Sweet stuff. I can pass up a meatball every now and then, but I can't pass up a brownie or a piece of cake or something like that, a pie. No way. So anyway, thank you for all that. I did bring back some of the dishes and things like that. I put them on the pew out there. So if you brought something, I want you to take that home because you may need to bring it back. You know? Well, anyway, thank you very much. The great Apostle Paul says there in Ephesians 6:13, I want to magnify that verse, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. We're living in an evil day. And having done so, all to stand. So the idea is to stand. Stand and hold the line. You know, if you were a Roman combatant, if you were in some of those early wars, you know, they just lined up in lines. And they kind of would attack each other. And what the troops did as they were being, they would encourage each other, hold the line. If you hold the line, we can hold them. If you let the line break, they're going to come through and we're all going to lose. So stand, hold the line. And we live in an evil world, no doubt about it. And as Christians, lies fly towards us like invisible arrows. Seems like there's just things coming at us from one direction and another. And to be silent, they want to discourage us. Don't say anything. What do you think you have the right to talk to me about Jesus? Why do you think you have the right to talk to me about sin? Why do you think, you know, it's I'm fine, leave me alone. They're not fine, and we don't need to leave them alone because we're commissioned to tell them. But listen, the Lord Jesus has given us a royal commission, not just any old petition or commission. It's not something to run away from. It's not something to hunker down and to protest ourselves because it's a task and it's difficult. But rather than this, we're to challenge the world and challenge it with what? Truth. Most of the time, if you would kind of address your testimony and those kind of things. Most of the time, there's something that happens in your life. People may be talking about Christ, people talking about sin, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, there's kind of a little light that goes on in your heart, in your soul, in your mind. And you say, oh, that's me. And what has to happen is the Holy Spirit has to take the Word of God, pierce that heart, go to that conscience, go to that spirit, and enliven us unto him and open our eyes that we see that we really need this. I'm doing fine. No, you're not. You're not doing. You might be doing fine as far as the economy in the United States or some other places, but you're not doing fine. But Jesus says over in Matthew 28, 28. It's a very familiar passage. Verses 18 through 20. It says, all power is given unto me. Where? In heaven and on earth. That's all power. Go ye therefore, he's telling us, to teach all nations. We're supposed to be teaching them something. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you, even what? To the end of the world. The scripture never gives to us a defensive posture, but rather it gives to us a powerful offensive posture. And Satan, in reality, is a retreating foe. An enemy that is mortally wounded, and he recognizes that, and he realizes his time is short, and so he is just beside himself trying to stop us, to silence us, to persuade us to just go to the side just a little bit over there. Now, some pastors said, we are first and foremost not attacked, but a church that should be attacking. And I think we should be on the front. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 about our weaponies. He says, we have a blessed prey of righteousness. And of course, you go back and you think about this, and you know these verses, and you know this mind. Paul is using an analogy that they were very familiar with, because he's taking a soldier. And the first thing he talks about is the blessed plate of righteousness. That part of the body there needs to be protected. It is the first place that Roman troops were taught to attack. That's a big nice target. Hit that there, and you're going to disable the guy, you're going to kill the guy, you're going to win the victory. Next, he talks about feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. One of the things that the Romans had, now, you know, we think of advanced weaponry in our times and all kinds of stealth bombers, all kinds of missiles and all kinds of stuff like that. Listen, wearing shoes was an advanced military development. The Roman troops did not go barefoot. They had what we would probably call sandals, really. But the bottom of that sandal was leather, and in the bottom of that sandal, it had little spikes that came out into the ground. And then, of course, then it went up to past your ankle into your mid-calf area to give you support. And so the blessed bread of righteousness was to protect that vital part of your body, your feet shod with the gospel of peace. And again, we're to have peace in our hearts, the gospel in our minds, and a victorious message on our tongues. Just like in the invasion of Normandy, I'm a World War II fan. I love to watch stuff like that. I'm always amazed about what happens and how it happens. I probably said this before. It just popped in my head, so I'm going to say it again. Back in World War II, things were very, very serious, and the British were wondering how the invasion was going on and everything like that. And they got a message back from the invasion force, and it said something like this. But if not, it started out that way. Then they recognized from that the verse that it went to, and it talks about them doing the best they possibly can. They're fighting fiercely and stuff like that. But if not, keep attacking. Keep attacking. What we need to do, we must learn to stand. And not just stand for anything. A lot of people stand for a lot of stuff that I don't think is worth a hoot. But stand for the gospel. Stand for the New Testament. One of the things I like about the Gideons and people like that, they give out Bibles. And they give out Bibles in places that you would not even think they were able to do. We have people object about giving out Bibles here in America. Remember a few years ago when we had the the Constitution, a little pamphlet size, and we put that in inside the New Testament, and we went around to the housing areas all around us over here, and on two different occasions, that may have happened to other people, but it happened to me, walking along with that little sack and had the Bible in there and had the Constitution in there, and this guy came up to me and says, "I don't want you bringing your trash to my house. I don't want my daughter exposed to that." I thought, what are you talking about? And so I said, "You know what's in this sack?" "I don't want the sack. I don't want it. No, no." I said, "You know what's in that sack?" "No, no, no." I said, "It's a New Testament, and it's a Constitution. A Constitution in the United States. You know what's in the Constitution?" Blah, blah. I said, "I bet you don't." And then I kind of shimmered down a little bit. I said, "You probably don't know what's in the book. Take it. When you have a chance, when the opportunity is quiet, read it. See what happens." Well, we have words like victory. We have words like hope. We have words like power, life-changing power. One of the scholars I was reading told me that the words feet and good news and peace are very integral. In Isaiah 52, Isaiah says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are what? The feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace." That's who we are. We're bearers of good tidings. There's nothing, if we stick to the gospel and we stick to what the New Testament teaches, there's nothing wrong with what we're saying. Not one thing. And if they reject that truth, well, they reject that truth. They have the free will to do so. But one day, they're going to be standing before God Almighty, and the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to be this little humble carpenter from Nazareth. Read Revelation. I think it would scare them to death to see the Lord of glory. And he's going to present the case. But one of the scholars I was reading tells me that the word feet, good news, and peace are very integral. Victory in Jesus. Satan hates Jesus, first and foremost. He hates the gospel. He hates goodness. He hates witnessing. He hates us presenting Bibles, free Bibles, or however we want to do it, teaching the Bible. He hates Bible preaching. He hates gospel hymns. You know, there's a difference, and I'm not trying to be ugly. There's a difference between a hymn and a spiritual song. Did you know that? There's lots of nice little ditty spiritual songs. But a hymn has what in it? The gospel. The gospel. And so when we sing hymns, there are the pieces and fragments of the gospel in there that are relevant to what we're trying to get across to people to understand. He hates that. He hates the Bible. He hates teaching. He hates us singing hymns. He hates us really to come and worship. Well, you know, just like Pharaoh did back there, until Israel multiplied, he was fine to keep them in Egypt. But when they started to multiply, then he got scared. Hey, these people up there in Goshen are growing by leaps and bounds. They might actually turn out to be a force to be reckoned with right here in our own country. The devil doesn't mind believers who are silent. The devil doesn't mind believers who are lukewarm. The devil doesn't mind believers who are silent. The devil doesn't mind us going through the motions. He doesn't mind us pulling up here in the parking lot. Don't just come in here, though, and open your Bible, read your Bible, sing hymns. Don't, because those things feed our spirit, and those things make us stronger. And those things embrace us to go and do what we're supposed to do outside this place. This place is not the evangelism place. Out there is the evangelism place. Oh, sure, there might be somebody here this morning that doesn't know Jesus. I hope you're convicted by the Holy Spirit of God to give your heart and mind to Christ. But that's out there primarily. Paul, talking over in verse 18, says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that I may open my mouth, how? Boldly. I ask today, Lord, help us to be bold. Help us to be bold. I don't know if you watch the news any, but it's demoralizing almost, the things that are going on right here in our country. All kinds of nitwit happenings. People walking around. I always think about the Hamas people, you know, parading and all that kind of stuff. I wish we could send them a free ticket. Let's see if we can send them to Iran for a weekend. And we'll give them a nice big piece of paper that says, I'm a homosexual. Or we'll give them another piece of paper that says something about something. I don't know who the ambassador is that we have, but the phone would be lit up. Those people trying to get out of there. Because you see, they're not going to tolerate that. And their first remedy is to kill you, then maim you maybe, then burn you. I always think to myself, if I'm already dead, I don't care if I'm being maimed, I don't care if they burn me. But listen, we must open our mouth boldly. It does take boldness to do that. Lord, help me today to open my mouth boldly, to be able to convey the love of Jesus to a world all around me, satisfied. Their homes, I suspect every place over here in Arlington Park got air conditioning, don't you think? I suspect everybody over in Arlington Park has got a refrigerator full of stuff, probably got a freezer full of stuff. They probably got a two-car garage bigger than most people's houses in 90% of the world. We've got so much material stuff. And there's nothing inordinately wrong with that. But if that material stuff is put before Jesus, then it is something wrong. The common misconception, I think, that we have is that all these commands in the Scripture are for people like Paul. Not like us. Paul, that nut crazy evangelist, that guy who met Jesus on Damascus Road and turned the world upside down. Yeah, I think Paul was an unusual fellow. But I think that we're wrong in thinking that we can't be these things and are not supposed to be these things. We can be missionaries in our own neighborhood, in our own club. The other day, Matt and I went to the car show across town over there at Sweetwater and went up and down the cars. And I'm a car nut. Dennis and I are car nuts. We need to get some kind of a pill for that, Dennis. I don't know what the deal is. But I like them. At least Matthew doesn't do that. But Alan Bale, does anybody remember Alan Bale, Donna? Alan and I went up to the Auburn Court Duesenberg place. I don't think we got past 10 cars. Sometimes they even had a mirror, so you could look out the mirror and see what was under the car. Alan would still flop on his back and get in there. Hey, look at this. This has got double exhaust on it. This fits the F-70. It's fuel injection. They only made three of these or something. You know, he just blah, 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 like that. And then you'd run to the next one. And, of course, he had a lowly disciple behind him running with him, you know. We had a lot of fun. But listen, in all of that, that we still are who we are, and in all of that, we probably would have had the opportunity, if we would have been thinking and cognizant that there might have been people along the way there that would have said something like, you don't have to get on your back to see the underneath of that 57 Chevy. It's got a mirror right here. And we could have said, oh, you know, you're right. And mirrors reflect who we are. And Jesus reflects who you are. Do you know? We could have said that. We could have done that. Unbelievable, isn't it? But we think evangelists are special people. And they are in a way. Church planters are special people. Missionaries are special people. But that's not true, exactly, scripturally. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, evangelists are to equip for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ. That's their job, to equip us. So we can do what? The work of Christ. Certainly there are more things like that that are specially gifted. They're right here in this room. There are people who are very gifted in all kinds of ways. Vondell can sit over in that piano, and I don't know how she does that. I don't know if she knows how she does that. All of a sudden, notes just come into her head and come around her fingertips. That's pretty cool. I've sat down over that piano on several occasions. She didn't know that. I've sat over there. I didn't get it. I didn't get it. Of course, you know, Vondell probably practices and does all kinds of stuff. I don't want to practice or anything like that. I just want to have it. Bum, 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 bum. You know. But we have to grow in Christ. We have to be sharpened. We have to be honed in our discipleship. Isaiah 52, 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good joy, and publisheth that, to say, Zion, thy God, in Zion thy God reigneth. Whether it's in Fort Wayne here or in the world, the assignment is actually the same. Embrace the Lord Jesus. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Read the scripture. Grow in grace individually. And then, as God gives us the wisdom to see, to use what God has given us. Lord, help us to be willing, though. I think that's our biggest problem. We just want to let somebody else to do it. Pastor Kim can do it. He does a better job than I. He's a great singer. He can just get up. Come up here, Pastor, and sing something. He's acting like he doesn't understand what I'm saying. Convenient. Thank you. Well, look, every faithful word we speak in the name of Jesus has authority. Every hill we climb, every obstacle we overcome makes us stronger. Every step we take, every Bible verse that we read and put in our memory, every hymn that we sing, every scripture that we learn to quote makes us who we should be in Christ. Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, with human eyes, for the things which were seen are temporal. They don't last. Just here today and gone tomorrow. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal, never changing, lasting forever and ever and ever. I've said this before, but when I was a kid, when my dad would go overseas, he went a couple times to Japan. He went one time to Vietnam. He went one time to Korea, South Korea. Anyway, when he would go on those kind of remote tours, is what they call them, we'd go back to my grandma and grandpa's farm. And so the religious, I'm going to use that word, religious, the religious training that we received in Base Chapel was pretty poor. But it was. But we went back to my grandmother's and grandfather, and we went to Caledonia. You could go to Caledonia today. You could see that little church building still sitting there today. It's nothing. There's nothing in Caledonia. The whole town's blown up, is dried up, blown away. But we would go to that Presbyterian church, and my grandfather would come and bring my mom and me. Sometimes he just let us off. Sometimes my mom would say, you know, Dad, come on, let's go in here. And he would come in with us. And this is what I remember. I don't remember one word the guy said. Not one word. And I'm going to say the word here in a minute, and you're going to say, you just lied. I don't remember exactly what he talked about. I do remember him moving across the podium area, because he was a Presbyterian, and he had the robe on, you know. And I guess they must starch and iron him or something, because his would make a little noise. A little noise. And then, of course, they have a low pulpit, and they have a high pulpit. Did you know that? So he would talk down here for a while. He would walk around here for a while. And I could hear that robe a little bit. And then he would climb that high pulpit. And when he'd get in that high pulpit, he would say, "You're going to hell without Jesus!" I remember that. Presbyterians are not all bad. They got something going for them. Well, you know, I was sent to Korea. In Korea, I was challenged with the truth of the gospel, and that's where I received Christ as my Lord and Savior in Korea. But when I came home, my mother had invited Reverend Smith, the Presbyterian minister, whom they had kept in touch with for all those years, over to our house to eat supper. And so here we are over to the house to eat supper, and he's talking, and he's a very nice man. He's probably 150 years old at that time or something. I don't know how old he was. But anyway, somehow or another, the word came up, and I told him how I had received Christ. And, you know, how I had got down on my knees and asked Jesus to come into my life, forgive me my sins, be Lord of my life, how I got up from my knees. I started reading the New Testament. I didn't put it down until I read through the whole thing. Read through it 13 times, the Old Testament 10 times while I was in Korea. We had a little chart. You just charted everything. And all those kind of things. And I was trying to tell him, you know, that this was how I came to Christ. And, you know, after I did all that and everything like that, he said to me, "What did you expect to happen?" Well, I don't know. I didn't expect anything. It was a surprise to me. I didn't say that. He said, "What did you expect to happen?" Then he said, "Don't you remember coming to church in Caledonia?" Well, I do remember that. He said, "Don't you remember me preaching?" Well, I do remember that, but I don't remember anything you said. "Don't you remember?" He said that three or four times or whatever. And then his whole idea was, that was preparation so that when you were confronted with the gospel in reality and intellectually you understood what you were doing, you received Christ. And his idea was, and that's exactly why I preach the gospel. I thought, man, you guys got it covered. So he's over here and hadn't seen him in 20 years or something like that. He's taking credit for much of my salvation, you know. But I thought to myself after many, many years, you know, that's true. Many times we come to Sunday school, do something like that. We read the scripture. We have an excellent teacher or something like that. We're doing all these things. And all this stuff is there. It's bubbling around. It's bubbling around. But then something has to happen to ignite that. The information is good, but it's just there. Something ignites that, and we physically get on our knees and ask Christ to come in life, whatever it is. We ask Jesus to save us, and guess what? He does. Every time. Every time. He answers those prayers. Well, I read an article about the average human being And the article had something like this: 50 to 70 billion cells die in our bodies every day. By this time next Sunday, if you're living and here, 350 billion of your cells will die. Now you say, where do you find that stupid piece of information? Well, bit by bit, little bit by little bit, our bodies are wearing out. We're dying. Now, some of you are young and healthy and all those kind of things, and that's wonderful. But listen, bit by bit, every day, 350 billion of your cells die. Some of those are renewed, I'm sure. But listen, no one escapes that process. This 8th of August is coming up, will be my birthday. I will be 52 years old. I was never very good in math. My wife has been telling me this almost for a week now, because she knows how that is. Because I really don't know. I have the slightest idea how old I am half the time. Maybe that's part of being 76. You remember and you forget. I don't know. But I have noticed things. Print. There are some books and magazines, and they keep getting the print smaller and smaller. Have you noticed that? My waistline is getting bigger and bigger. My memory, my wife is thinking I need to get some kind of, what is that stuff? Yeah, something, yeah. I don't forget anything important. Well, anyway, I do forget things, but you know, that's just life experience. If you live long enough, you're going to be in the same shape as I'm in. Maybe a little bit better, hopefully you will be. But if you live long enough, some of those things are going to happen. Your body's going to get a little bit weaker. You're not going to be able to jump over the fence like you used to and all those kind of things. You're not going to be able to remember things like you used to and all those kind of things. What's happening is death is winning. Martin Luther wrote a great hymn. The hymn was, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The hymn builds and builds and builds to a triumphal, I think, conclusion. He says, "Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, this body they may kill, God's truth abideth still, his kingdom is forever and ever." Do you believe that? I hope you do. Let's think about and pledge ourselves that in the time that we have and in the power that we have, that God might use us in the ministry that is ours in Christ Jesus to live by the standards of the New Testament, to be a witness for him, not just simply in words, but simply in words are necessary in all things in life. I've got this little magazine. I've said it a couple of times. I know at least at night. I don't know if I've said it in the morning or not. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. And I don't know who got this for me or for us. I don't know if it's for me particularly. Let's see what it says here. Oh, well. Anyway, it says this: from persecutor to partner in the ministry. Now, these two guys are from Kashmir. Kashmir is a majority Muslim country in India. One guy's name is Auba. Is that Abu? I'm going to say it. If it's wrong, sorry. The other guy's name is Farrk. Farrukh? Anyway, these two guys, they're friends. And Abu was a Muslim. He wanted to be a good disciple of Muhammad. He wanted to know the Quran. He wanted to be able to witness and power for Islam. And he said that being a Sufi, which is a kind of branch of Islam, they want to focus extremely on Allah. He said that 97% of the people in Kashmir, the population, is Muslim. It doesn't mean they had any idea what Muslim means. It's just that they were born there, and that's the country. And since Kashmir's population is 97% Muslim, Abu said that he was part of that, but he had a friend there, Farouk, and they were studying together. They were trying to work together. And one day, lo and behold, now tell me this. They were walking down the street, arguing or talking about Islam, arguing or talking about growing to be the kind of people that Muhammad would be happy with. And they saw a green book in the street. It wasn't real big. It's a green book in the street. And Abu said, I wonder what that is. The other guy said, I don't know what it is. Cars going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. It was just being knocked around all over the place. They ran out and picked it up, brought it over on the sidewalk, and looked at it. And lo and behold, it was a New Testament in Farsi or whatever it is, Kashmirian talk. And Abu said that his friend Farouk thought, you take it first and read it and see what it's about. Because they'd understood that you shouldn't read the Bible, you shouldn't read the New Testament or anything like that, but they didn't know what was in there. They'd just been taught something was in there. It was bad for you. Don't do that. And so they were going to share a little bit. You know, we'll keep it for a little while because nobody knows we have it. You know, and we'll read and see what's in there. See what these crazy Christians are all about, if anything. He read the whole New Testament in 2 weeks. Boom. He said he couldn't put it down. Boom. He said, you know, in the Quran, there's nothing like it. The New Testament is totally different. It's focusing on Jesus. And Abu got to that spot where that Bible, I suspect, was probably some kind of witness Bible. The head in the back, here's how you ask Christ to come in your life. And you know, I blank, put you in there. Now repent of my sins, da, 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 like that. And he prayed that prayer. He said he was kind of afraid to do it. At the same time, he was eager to try to do it. Because he was wanting to know, what is in this book? Why shouldn't we read it? If it's no good, if it's nothing there, why should we be fearful of it? And so he read it. Step number two on his slippery slope to Jesus. He didn't get through the New Testament, but he did get through Matthew and Mark. That's pretty good. He said he was reading in Luke. And all of a sudden, he just said, I had to stop. He says, because tears were coming down my cheeks. And I did not know why. And of course, the Holy Spirit is working. Being a religious person, he got down on his knees. He got down on his face and he put the New Testament, a little green New Testament, in front of him and bowed his head and put his head on that New Testament. And he prayed and asked Christ to forgive him of his sin, to come in his life and be Lord of his life. His next part of his testimony in this is, I've never been the same since. Glory! Yeah. But you know what the next thing he wanted to do? He wanted to talk to Farouk. I don't know how to say that guy's name. F-A-R-O-O-Q. Farouk. Okay. And he did. Now, Farouk didn't receive Christ just like that, but in a few days he gave him the Bible. Read it. He was scared to read the Bible. He knew that we weren't supposed to. Something terrible about it. But Baruch had, and he's excited. He'd never seen him excited about anything. He hadn't been, he was not excited about Islam. Nobody was that they knew. He read the New Testament, and guess what happened to him? He got saved too. So now, on the streets of Kashmir, population 97% Muslim, God just planted two evangelists. It's a fantastic article. You need to read it. I think the God that did that can do it with us. The world that we live in is not quite as hostile as that world. The world that we live in is even more receptive than that world. The world that we live in has comforts and things that that world knows nothing about. Yet we're silent and they speak. They speak. We need to speak. Take a stand. Look out for the opportunity. You have to get your mind homed to what someone opens up to you. And when that opening comes, step through. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And God may do great and mighty things. I'm sure he will, period. But we don't know what God's got in plan for everybody or anybody. But God will work in a great way. Father, thank you for who we are. We thank you for being raised in a country like we have been raised. We thank you, Lord, that there are churches all over America of different brands and sorts and things of that nature, probably at odds with each other way too much. But nevertheless, if we put the Bible in the center of who we are and what we're about, that's what we're to do. Whether we call ourselves Baptists or Presbyterians or Methodists or Pentecostals or whatever, that kind of label has nothing to do. This book's truth has everything to do. Father, we're living in a world on fire. Help us to be the witnesses you would have us to be. Seems like to me you always do better when our luxuries and all the things that we count on are either in doubt or in jeopardy or been taken away. You help us to focus. Lord, help us to focus. Help us to be an Abu, a Farouk, to our friends, to those around us, that Jesus might be lifted up and touch their lives and change them in a moment. Father, I thank you for those who are here today. Pray, Father, that we just recognize and realize what a privilege it is to come, worship you, sing praises, sing hymns, open our Bibles, read it, and worship. Help us, Lord, not to be pew warmers, but to be on fire for you. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. I think we're going to